Welcome to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between, a podcast for anyone ready to embrace life's ultimate truth. It ends. I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, here to break down barriers around mortality through heartfelt conversations, personal insights, and practical tools for facing the end with courage and intention. Whether you're curious about death, navigating grief, or seeking ways to live more fully, this is your safe space to explore life's most transformative topics. Together, we'll turn fear into understanding and silence into connection. Hi, my friends. This one is not going to be easy, but it might be one of two parts of the most important ones yet. This one matters. I am casting tonight from a dark room, because what we're going to talk about is the Titanic as a metaphor for grief and depression. You've heard me say it before, grief and its twin, depression, aren't always loud. Sometimes it's silent, sometimes invisible, and sometimes it's ignored or missed. This is the first of a two-part closing arc for my season. Next time, we're going to talk about the Carpathia, the ship that ran towards disaster, with three engines melted in the process to save those in need. Today, we're going to talk about something else first. The other ships that were there when the Titanic sank in that black water on that moonless night. We have to look at the Californian, the ship that saw the Titanic's flares and didn't come. The ones that stayed still. Because this isn't about ships. They're a fun metaphor. But it's about people. People who don't recognize the suffering, who turn away, who miss the signals, not because they're heartless, but because no one taught them where to look. This episode is called The Ones Who Look Away, and it's about what happens when people see suffering and choose not to act. So let's talk about the SS Californian. I'm sure we all remember the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, The Titanic, and it either was a formative part of our life or traumatized us deeply, sometimes both. The Californian was 10 miles away from the Titanic when it struck the iceberg. Close enough to see the distress signals. Close enough to hear the wireless messages. Close enough that it could have saved hundreds of lives. And it didn't move. The captain was asleep. The wireless operator had signed off. The crew saw the flares and assumed that they were in celebration, perhaps fireworks from a ship's party. So they did nothing. We all imagine depression as tears and breakdowns and the gnashing of teeth and the pulling of hair and it being dramatic. Isolation. Pulling away. But more often than not, it looks like smiling, numbing out, overfunctioning, being the strong one. And when people don't cry or don't fall apart, don't scream, we miss it. We assume. Californian watched the flares. They talked about them, assumed that they were fireworks, a celebration, a party. And then they went back to bed, assuming all was well. And to this day, the Californian is remembered not for what it did, but for what it didn't do. And this is what happens all the time with mental health and depression and grief. We see the signs, but because they don't match our expectations or understanding, we misread them. We say, oh, she's doing fine. Well, he hasn't said anything, or they're probably just tired. They're going through a lot. This is a lot. I'm sure they're fine. But people rarely announce that they are sinking into the icy dark waves of depression. Most of the time, they whisper it through changed routines, social withdrawal, emotional shutdown, and dry humor that cuts just a little bit too deep. And if we don't know what we're looking at and we haven't been trained to notice these, we look away. We don't see them at all. So What does this have to do with us as people? Everything. Life coaching, I often talk about emotional literacy. That means learning to read what's really going on beneath the behavior. Every single day, people around us are sending out flares. Flares of quiet grief, of pain, burnout, depression, anxiety, loneliness. And just like the crew of the Californian, we often see those flares and assume someone else will act. Because when we misread someone's flares, we don't just miss a cry for help. We miss the chance to be a safe place for someone who's barely holding it together. We often hear it takes a village, but nobody wants to be a villager. Nobody wants to lift a hand to be involved. We look at someone who just lost a parent and say, they're holding up so well. We see a friend who pulls away and assumes that they're just busy. We scroll past someone's vulnerable post online and think, I don't know what to say. What do you say? But here's the hard truth. Silence doesn't mean safety, and smiling doesn't mean everything's okay. Depression affects over 21 million adults in the United States every year. Nearly 50% of people struggling with depression will never tell anybody. Not because they don't want support, but because they're not sure how to ask, or because they did once and got ignored. They might say, I don't want to burden anybody, or I don't want to be dramatic. Everyone else has it worse. I'll be okay. And they stay quiet. And when we don't notice, or worse, assume they're fine, we reinforce that silence and ignore their flares. But let's be real. Most of us have been the Californian. I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, I too. We've all seen a subtle signal and hesitated. We've all worried about saying the wrong thing, getting involved, crossing a line, stepping on toes. We've all convinced ourselves that it wasn't our place. Well, I don't know them well enough. I don't want to be weird. But looking away doesn't always come from a place of cruelty. Sometimes it's confusion. Emotional overload, burnout, it's a fear of not knowing what to do or say. And that's valid. But in life coaching, we deal with a core truth. Your intent matters, but your impact matters more. If someone you care about is sending distress signals and you miss them, your absence feels the same, whether you meant to or not. So what do we do with that? We learn to look again. There's a name for what happens when people see distress and do nothing. This might also have been a moment where you've been the Californian. It's called the bystander effect. It's a psychological phenomenon first identified in the 1960s after the murder of Kitty Genovese in New York, where numerous people witnessed it, saw it happen. Saw the attack and saw her be killed, failed to intervene. Researchers found that when more people are present, individuals are less likely to help. We assume someone else will. We wait for a leader to emerge. We convince ourselves that I don't have to get involved, someone else will. So you see someone post something heavy on social media. You think about reaching out, but you scroll past and you assume, well, someone else probably messaged them already. But what if no one did? What if no one responded? That silence speaks louder than any screaming of a twisting hull succumbing to the depths. Coaching, we train ourselves to override these assumptions. We notice what's happening, we name what's real, and we nudge ourselves out of the comfort zone to intervene. And sometimes it's just as simple as saying, hey, I saw your post. I don't know what to say, but I just want you to know that I'm here, that I noticed, that I am clocking that you are in distress, and I'm here. That is a flare. That is a distress signal that is answered. So let's talk about another barrier, one that we're probably more guilty of. Compassion fatigue. And we're overwhelmed by repeated exposure to trauma and suffering, either in real life or online. And let's face it, we're all on these phones all the time. We shut down. It becomes numb. It doesn't matter anymore. We can scroll past it. It is a defense mechanism. Our nervous system can only deal with so much. We've talked about it before, where I joke about our nervous systems are persistently under the impression that we are being hunted for sport. Because we are continuously inundated with negative information. Our culture teaches us also to mind our business, to not ask hard questions, to not make things worse. But sometimes making things awkward is what will save a life. Silence isn't neutral. It is a choice. Let me repeat that for you again. Silence is not neutral. Silence is a choice. But turning away doesn't always mean ignoring something entirely. It can look like changing the subject line when grief is mentioned, changing where the conversation heads, avoiding eye contact with someone that's crying, telling yourself they'll reach out if they need me. They know I'm here. And most people won't. Because vulnerability is hard. Because asking for help feels like a burden. You feel like you are putting emotional labor on someone else. This burden shouldn't be on them to signal louder. It should be on us to listen better. Ask, text, show up, even if it's messy. So, how do we become someone who sees and answers the flares? You don't need to be a therapist. You don't need perfect timing or flawless words. You need presence, willingness, and heart. You want to be someone that helps turn the ship? Here's what that looks like. Pay attention to shifts in behavior, not just the words. Ask twice. The first, I'm fine, might just be a reflex. Offer presence instead of advice. Just be there. Don't wait for the perfect words. Say something. And most of all, don't assume someone else will do it. Well, we are going to take a really quick break, give you some spots from our amazing supporters and perhaps some of our wonderful other shows, and then we will be right back to talk more about the ones who look away.
Do you want to become a host? Start your own podcast to inspire, persuade, and influence others on what you're passionate about? At the Transformation Network, we can help make your talk radio dreams happen. Let's take your hopes, dreams, and passions and put them on air today. Email us at host@transformationtalkradio.com to learn more about becoming a host of your very own show. Do you want to become a host? Start your own podcast to inspire, persuade, and influence others on what you're passionate about? At the Transformation Network, we can help make your talk radio dreams happen. Let's take your hopes, dreams, and passions and put them on air today. Email us at host@transformationtalkradio.com to learn more about becoming a host of your very own show.
Welcome back. How many of you sat with that while we were on the break and were possibly horrified? Because I sat here in like an existential crisis for a good 30 seconds about it, taking my own advice, physician healing thyself, and being like, am I listening up to what I am preaching to other people? Perhaps I should up my game. So, friends of mine that know me in real life, when I start getting real nosy, if your tone changes, Pequeño, I'm trying to be accountable. So, again, how do we become someone who sees and answers the flares? This goes back also to what I have continued to harp on this entire season: regret. When we think about people that we've lost, and in this case, the Californian and the Titanic, and the larger metaphor that we're working with here, we always have hindsight of being 2020. We always look back, and there's always an I coulda, I woulda, I should have seen it. I could have said something. Why didn't I? I knew something was wrong. Do you want to live with that regret if something is indeed wrong and you do nothing? Imagine how the Marconi operator on the Californian felt when they woke up the next morning and found out what happened. Or all of the other ships. I do believe one of the ships actually told them to like shut up and turn the Marconi machine off. What do you do with that when you know that thousands of people died because you weren't paying attention? So again, we come back to you don't need to be a therapist. You don't need to be a professional. You don't need any kind of perfect timing or a script or flawless words. You just need to be. You can sit with silence on someone. You can send them a meme, a picture of your cat, text them, a heart emoji. Let them know you're just simply there. You need presence, willingness, and heart. But what we most need for this is not assuming someone else will do it. Assume you are the person that is going to do it. Because what if that night, that fateful night, what if everyone else had assumed no one else is coming? And every ship that had remained silent when the Titanic went down had turned on their lights and fired up their engines and come. It wouldn't have been a tragedy. Possibly little to no loss of life. How amazing is it when not just one person shows up, but everyone shows up? That is what building community is. That is what being a village is. I've repeated over and over, everything takes a village. It doesn't just take a village to raise a child. It takes a village from birth to death and then some. Being the one who leads isn't necessary. Being the one who shows up is. Not assuming someone else will take care of it. You might be the only one who notices. And that's what matters, that someone noticed, that someone cared, that someone turned the ship. Californian wasn't that far away. They were 10 nautical miles. That's it. They could see the Titanic from the deck of the ship without any aids, without telescopes, without binoculars, without anything. They could see them. They were right there. And in our lives, we rarely are more than one text, one call, one honest check-in, one DM from someone that's hurting. Think about everybody that you've spent time with this week. Someone's hurting. Out of those contacts in your phone, someone needs you. And sometimes that's enough to change the outcome. Sometimes it's the only thing that can. We like to imagine that we would be the heroes, the rescuers, the one who run towards the flames. We are all the protagonists of our own story. But history and psychology suggest otherwise. Unless we choose differently. I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to say a here nor there. But there are things that are going on in our streets every day that people walk past, that they record, and then they put it online, and they do not intervene. I am challenging you personally to intervene. The cost of looking away is not just someone else's pain. It's our own missed opportunity to be who we'd hope we'd be. And when that chance comes, is who you are in that moment aligned with who you know you can be? To live without regret, to show up with courage, and to matter. I've also been the one who's quietly fallen apart, hoping someone would notice, and no one did. Because I kept showing up, I kept smiling, I kept going to work. I didn't ask for help, I didn't know how. But I did know how to dig my fingers into my mask and hold it in place at any cost. If you've ever visited my website and read my story, you know that I liken my own personal story and my turning point to finally sinking under. It's no small wonder and no coincidence that we compare grief, depression, those dark thoughts to drowning, because you want more than anything to hope, to survive, to claw your way back up to the surface at any cost. But eventually, you get tired. To let the drowning finally embrace you because no one is coming. You, why, how didn't, why didn't they notice? I mean, they know something's wrong. They know I'm not myself. Well, I guess they don't care. I guess I'm not important. I guess I don't matter. I guess I don't impact anybody. Glug, glug, glug. Everyone thought I was fine when I was about to become the second in my direct bloodline to end their own life and leave no trace of us behind. I don't share that for sympathy. I share it because it's real, and to say that I too have been there. I have been on the other side. We all have moments when we don't know how to show up, but it's never too late to learn. Next week, we're going to talk about the Carpathia, the ship that did come. And what hope looks like when you can see it on the horizon and you know that it is coming. But today, I want to ask you to look at the places in your own life where you have stayed still, not with guilt, not to preach or make you feel any kind of way, but with honesty. And then in the future, when you feel stillness, choose to move. Because someone out there is sending up a flare, and you might be the only ship close enough to see it. When everyone else is sleeping, when everyone else's comms are down, you might be the only one. And if you're not, great. A support circle just built itself. Wonderful. Great. We want more help, not less. The point in starting off with a Californian is they were right there and assumed everything was fine. It would have taken 2 seconds to hop on and say, "Hey, looks like you guys are having a great time over there. Congratulations. Good night." In which time the response could have been, "Bro, we are going down. Please help." And the whole situation would have been wildly different. But because they looked and assumed, an unknown people, amount of people lost their lives. But what we do know is that 700 bloodlines were saved by the hope that did arrive. So I know we're deep in the trenches of accountability and what we can do. Next month, we are going to talk about what hope looks like and the maximum potential for human goodness and the best example of nobility. And I'm going to cry. This story, like, just, man, it messes me up every time in a good way. But until next time, I'm Alexis Hughes, and this is Without Fear. Go out there and be a little menace this week. Intervene. Be a problem for somebody you love. We'll see you next time.
I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, and you've been listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. Join me every third Monday, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard, on Transformation Talk Radio for honest conversations about life's final chapter. Together, we'll break down barriers around mortality and empower you with practical tools to start meaningful conversations with your loved ones about end-of-life wishes. To learn more about end-of-life support and my work as a death doula, visit withoutfeardoula.com. Thanks for listening.